Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome as we continue and almost done with the Songs of Ascents in the Psalms of 15. We're number 14 today, actually, Psalm 133. And what a blessing this little three-verse psalm is. We could entitle it The Blessed Unity of the People of God. And this is of David. This is Song of Ascents. And it is, I think, next to the shortest one, or one of the shortest one, only three verses here. And next week will be 134, the last of the songs, and that's three verses as well, even fewer words than Psalm 133. But 133 is just a wonderful psalm on something that's so important, and that is the blessedness of unity. So let's just read it. Verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Wow, unity, unity, unity. In the King James Bible, there's the unity, word unity, I believe is only used three times. It's used here, and then it is used in the book of Ephesians twice in that little section there for in chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then verse 13 also, "till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The psalm begins with "behold." In other words, there's something that can be observed, it can be seen. And what is it? It is unity. And what is unity? Oh, it's described as how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Good, how good, and pleasant, how pleasant it is. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, there are many things that are good, but they're not pleasant. For example, surgery. It's good, but it's not pleasant. Or how about getting a root canal at the dentist? It's good, but it's not pleasant. But unity is good, and it is pleasant. It is something to be desired so much, and it's something that is the demonstration to the world in such a powerful way of the church. Where there's unity, it is a great witness. Where there is lack of unity, where there is disharmony, where there's infighting and also and all that kind of a thing, it is not a good witness. And unfortunately, maybe too many of the people in the world today, if unbelievers, if you ask them, what do you think about the church, they'd say, well, all they do is squabble and fight about everything. And maybe there's some truth to that. But how about you? How about me? Are we generators of unity? I don't know that we can generate it. I think that's the Spirit. But are we destroyers of it? We can certainly destroy unity, can we not? So am I, are you a unifier? Are you a peacekeeper? Are you a mischief maker or a troublemaker or one who causes disputes? Something we need to consider. We see here that as we look at the body of Christ, we should be unified. Consider how we have one Savior, one salvation, one faith, one Bible, and going to one heaven forever. Now, isn't that something to be uniting us? Even though there's a lot of diversity within the body of Christ, and even though there are different personalities and types, with those great things that I just mentioned that we have together in unity, that should create unity in us, should it not, in the body of Christ. Well, the psalmist goes here to describe the unity like something flowing down or running down or descending. We see in verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. So the high priest was to be anointed with this special compounded oil, which consisted of, it had to be really sweet smelling. It consisted of liquid myrrh, of sweet smelling cinnamon, and sweet smelling cane. There were 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. So this was a specially compounded oil formulated by God, and it was to be anointed over the Ark of the Covenant and over the tabernacle and the various things in the tabernacle, altar of incense and so forth, and especially on the priest, and beginning with the high priest, and was to be poured on his head till it would run down his beard and then flow on down to his garments, and we see even to the edge of his garments. Now, is unity, can you visualize unity flowing over the body of Christ that you're a part of, at least the part of the body that you're in and you see? And how about that descending on you? Is unity just flowing down from you? And how do you smell? Because this was sweet smelling oil, was it not? So we say it's like, assimilate, it's like that. It doesn't say it is oil, it's like the oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And then looking at another aspect of it, it is like the dew of Hermon, Mount Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. So a couple of forms of moisture there that would be so life-giving to Israel. One was the rains that would form because of the elevation, and the air would come over that elevation at a high level, and then it would drop its rain. And so there would be rain that would descend upon the mountains of Zion. And then there would also be the snow melting during the summer months, especially, and that's where they would get a lot of the water. Same here in California. We get most of our water, or an awful lot of our water, from the snow melting from the high Sierra that would be collecting the snow during the winter months, and then over a longer period of time during the summer months, it would melt and run down. So here we see running down like the dew of heaven, like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. And then we get to the last part of verse 3, and it says what? For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So here is the blessing of the unity, really, of the body, and that's eternal life, isn't it? The life forevermore that we have. Jesus said, what? If you live and believe in me, you shall never die. So think of the aspect of the universal opportunity, or the opportunity for witnessing on eternal benefits for the body of Christ, or the eternal benefits to all people that we see that need the Lord. How wonderful it is if they have eternal life. Isn't that the most important thing there is to think about and to pray about? And so we see here that he wants that to flow down upon the body of Christ, on you and me, and he's commanding this blessing, life forevermore. So may we be active, working and watching and waiting for his soon return, and in the meantime, demonstrating every day. These days are winding down, aren't they? We know the rapture is coming, but we don't know when. We know we're all going to take our last breath, but we don't know when. But we do know that we have one less day until that time than we had yesterday. And in fact, last week when we met, we have 1 week's less time. Do one of those two things happen where it will end our opportunity to pray for others, I believe. And then we also know that those unbelievers that need to hear the Word of God, that need to be discipled and so forth, they have one less day than yesterday, or than a week before, 1 week less before they take their last breath. And we know that the determination of their testimony as written by their life will determine where they have chosen to spend it. And that will be solidified once the last breath is taken. So important to show unity, and may we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, as we have this time, this precious time to pray, would you lead us, Holy Spirit, by your empowerment? And we come to you in the name of Jesus, Father, and in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have about 30, 40 minutes here to pray together, as is our custom on Saturday morning. So lead us now, and may we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Help us to remember to watch, to wait, and to work. As we read earlier, that we would endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close with this song, which comes to all our minds, "To Dwell in Unity." A little bit of Hebrew music here, but it's fitting. Father, help us to be in unity, Lord. Help us to be unifiers and not separators. And Lord, help us to focus on you. You are the only focus that we have that is unified and that is one and that is perfect. Thank you for doing your good work in each of us, and you have promised to bring us to Christ's likeness. Help us not to delay that process, Lord. You're going to do it no matter what, but we would like to be a part of the unity program, not part of the problem part program, Lord. Bless each one as we go, Lord, and may we remember those words. Don't worry about the other person, but you told Peter, you follow me. May we do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.